want to talk to you today on this Christmas Eve service for a few minutes just about responding to the promises, to your promise that was given to us in Jesus Christ. How do we respond? If you know Brad Trask for any length of time, and if I was to quiz you and say, after just getting to know you for a few minutes, I'm going to ask you a question. What am I going to ask? I'm going to ask how, if you are married, engaged, you know what, dating somebody seriously, I'm going to say, how did you meet? Right after that question, for a few moments, I'm going to ask another question. I'm going to say, how did you find Jesus? How did you meet the Lord? What transpired? And I would submit to you that people that are represented here, we all have our story. Some people will say, you know what, I heard about the Lord in a Billy Graham crusade. Or somebody was working next to me on the line, I've heard people say, and they shared the love of Jesus. The fact is, people will say, you know what, I was kind of raised in a Christian home. I went to Sunday school or children's church when I was a little guy or a gal, and I knew the Lord, and I responded to the Lord in that manner. We all have our stories. But I want you to look with me at the responses at the first Christmas. And there's a couple of groups of men, and we'll look at a third and a fourth just briefly, real briefly. But I want you to look at these men that responded to the first Christmas. And I want us to look at how their response ought to be our response. Are you with me? Say amen. I want you to look with me first at the first responders and the shepherds. The shepherds were there on that first Christmas night. And there they are. They're tending the sheep, the word says. They're probably having a normal conversation amongst each other, wondering what's going to happen amidst their families that are back home. They're talking about when they'll be able to bring the flock into a particular place. Whatever shepherds talk about, they're talking about. And lo and behold, out of nowhere comes a bright, shining host of angels. And it's declared to them that on this day, on this night, is going to be born unto them a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Absolutely incredible. There's another group of men that are called magi. We know them as wise men. It didn't just happen per chance that they would hear about Jesus. No, these men were on a lifelong journey. They've studied about Christ their entire lives. They've been raised in what would be modern Iran. They're from the Persian Empire. And they're on a journey, and yet they respond. They come to Jerusalem. They approach the king, and they say, you know what? Where is the king of the Jews, the one born, the king of the Jews? Where should we find him? I think it's incredible, the response that we see. But before we look at the similarities, let me just take 5 minutes and talk about the contrasts of these two groups. Because they couldn't be two more totally divergent groups of people that there ever was. The contrast of the first responders was this. Their social strata was totally different. On the socioeconomic ladder, you couldn't find two more separate groups. If you look at the shepherds, they're dirty, they're smelly, they're kind of a combination of what we would know as vagabond, con man, maybe a gypsy, if you will, always on the move. They can't even have, they're not allowed to give witness in a court of law because they're not to be trusted. You look at the wise men, however, church, these are people of influence. They're people on the opposite end of the social spectrum. They have no problem being noted as VIPs. How do we know that? They go to Jerusalem and they immediately find themselves in an audience with King Herod. They're people of notoriety, if you will. and their social strata is totally different. Their financial status is totally different. The shepherds are the poorest of the poor. They don't own those sheep. They're tending them for somebody else. They're hired guns, if you will, just to watch the flocks. They're paid labor, but they can't even, as I said, they can't even be trusted because many times they were known to carry off the sheep or sell them on the sly. But the wise men are a totally different group. They're people that are people of status. And they come where the shepherds couldn't even bring a gift to worship the Lord. The wise men are a totally different picture. They are people of wealth. And they've been on a journey. Some scholars submit, you know what, probably a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. They've had an entourage that's been moving about. And when they come to the Savior, they're able to submit before him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You look at their education. The shepherds, you know what, they don't even have a high school equivalent. The predominance of them, they can't read the writing of the day. They're not able to name. The wise men are the scholars of the day. They're people that they're astronomers. They're studied in the sciences and in the arts. They're people that are greatly educated. In fact, their law of code of law is what even America was founded on in great part. Their laws were called the law of the Medes and the Persians. It was unalterable. When they stated it, if you study Esther and you study Daniel, when it was stated, what was stated in their law, it was as good as gold. It was the gold standard. See, even the distance traveled, the contrast. These shepherds could get there in just a short walk. The wise men, however, they were probably, as we stated, on a quite extensive journey. Maybe a year, year and a half, or 2 years. And we know that because when Herod was tricked, he wants all the boys killed. He doesn't have it exactly, but he wants all the boys killed in Bethlehem 2 years old and younger. But I want you to, if we can, apply this to our hearts. How should we respond? What ought to be our mode of response at this Christmas? I want to give you just two ideas, if we can, and then I want to make a personal application in our lives. I want to state this. The comparisons, the similarities is this, that God rewards anyone who will seek him. I believe that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout all the earth. The word says that. Second Chronicles tells us, the eyes of the Lord roam throughout all the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are set towards him. And just as those shepherds and those magi, their hearts were strengthened, I would submit to you, the Lord looks in here today, and he sees a group of people that are hungry. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Look at the Magi, Matthew 2. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Whether they were rich or poor, Magi rich, shepherds poor, educated Magi, illiterate shepherds, whether they were the laborer or the CEO, they were seeking after God. And you may be near to Christ today. You may say, you know what? I've been on a journey. I've been looking for God. You may be watching online this Sunday evening, friend, or later on this week. And you may say, you know what? This is the answer I've been looking for, a relationship with Jesus, because you've looked around about you. Or you may be here today or watching online and you're saying, you know what? I'm stumbling across this. I'm like one of the shepherds. I just don't know. I have no idea that the answer to my life was Jesus, but I sense something in my heart, my life saying, this is the way, walk in it. Can I tell you? We're all, whether we've been searching, whether we're rich or poor. The fact of the matter is, we're all in need of Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For you and I, the fact is that the Lord rewards us when we respond and we say, Lord, we're seeking after you. Second idea I want you to see today is this. The fact is that the primary response at arriving at Jesus is always to worship. You've done the right thing today. You've come to the house of God to worship. This day, before it's ever about exchanging gifts or celebrating around a table, those things are all grand. Interacting with family, those are wonderful things. But friends, let it be Christmas is first and foremost about giving our adoration and our praise to a mighty God. He's worthy to be praised. The word says there that in Matthew's gospel, when the Magi found the Lord, he's at the house now in Bethlehem. He's probably a toddler, but these men that have been accustomed to have people bow to them, now they, by faith, bow before this little child. And it says they bowed and worshiped. The word says in Luke's gospel, chapter 2, after the shepherds, they found the Lord. When they returned, it says, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. The most appropriate thing that you and I can do to respond to Christmas promise, the person of Jesus, is for you and I to lift up the name of the Lord. Great bishop by the name of J.C. Ryle said this even about the Magi's pursuit of God and the person Jesus. We read of no greater faith than this in all the Bible. It is a faith that deserves to be placed side by side with that of the penitent thief. The thief saw one dying, the death of a criminal, and yet prayed to him and called him Lord. The wise men saw a newborn babe on the lap of a poor woman, and yet they worshiped him and confessed that he was Christ. I want you to just think with me about two other responses that we see. And it's not exhaustive. But have you ever thought about just even Herod's response? The word says this about this terrible despot. When he realized, verse 16, that they had been outwitted, that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity to whom were 2 years old and under. I would say probably not in that mean-spirited of a way, but a lot of people are even antagonistic towards the things of God at this Christmas season. Who are you, God, to tell me what to do? And they don't want to bow before the Lord. Can I tell you, friends, they'll be for all eternity fighting against the Almighty God because he is worthy to be praised. Then there's a group of people that maybe you work with, that you interact with, or maybe have even come in today as a guest or a friend. And they're somewhat apathetic. I find it still intriguing that in that Christmas story, when the Magi come to Jerusalem, they come before Herod. Herod's not a studied guy on the things of God. And yet he turns to the religious leaders, and look what the religious leaders tell him. When he, together with all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Did you see it right there? He turns to these guys that know the answer. They tell him it's going to be in Bethlehem. But what I find almost mind-numbing is this. They don't even take the trek 6 miles to find if Jesus is really there. They know the answers, but they're apathetic about even searching for the Lord or even coming to worship him. Wouldn't you think if you knew the answer that you would certainly approach the king and say, I want to find out if he's really there? Can I encourage you today? The answer that the Magi and the shepherds gave to surrender their life afresh to the Lord was the proper response. So let's apply it to our lives. How many of you love Jesus today? Amen. What's the response? Should we prepare to close the service? I would submit to you the life application for us is this. God can use us as his light to direct people to Jesus. He doesn't use stars anymore. Many times he won't use an angelic host. But the word will declare that you and I are to be used of God to direct people to the person of Jesus. The word says this of the Magi. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And then the word tells us that the shepherd, so the Magi tell the people in Jerusalem, "We're looking for this one. We want to know who he is." So they're declaring outwardly. But then look at the shepherds as well. When they had seen him, they spread the word. God no longer places lights in the sky first and foremost. He uses you and I to declare the goodness of God. Would you ask, believer, today? Would you ask the Lord to use you this Christmas season and beyond into 2024 to let your light shine for him? The word says that when they had seen him, they spread the word. How about you and I spreading the word, even the rest of this day, as some of you are still shopping or going to eat, that you look at people and declare, "You know what? I thank the Lord that he came to this earth." The word says this, when we guide someone to Jesus, that we're being utilized like a star. And it says this, those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever.